the best laid plans.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. There's that old adage, persistence pays. And General Motors is hoping another chance before Congress could be the difference between life and bankruptcy. Over the weekend, the GM board met to discuss a restructuring plan. Ashley Milne-Tite joins us now to talk about that plan. Ashley, what do we know?
Well, GM CEO Rick Wagoner has already made the case in Washington that government money is the only way the company will be able to turn itself around. Reports out today suggest that GM's board is keeping itself open to all sorts of options, including a possible bankruptcy filing in case that money doesn't come through. But meanwhile, GM's management and the board are focused on crafting a plan to revive the company that lawmakers are actually going to believe in.
So what's likely to be a part of this plan?
Well, pay cuts for executives, for one thing. That was something that didn't go down well at all in Washington last month. Lawmakers felt that auto executives just didn't get it when it came to executive pay. I mean, GM paid out more than $40 million to top executives last year, even as it was losing billions of dollars as car sales sank. It could also involve further concessions from the union. Right now, laid-off workers continue to be paid about 90% of their salary, and probably getting rid of some of GM's brands. That may well happen, and production capacity could be cut again.
So these plans coming soon. Tomorrow, of course, a big day for the auto industry for another reason, right?
Yeah, that's right. Tomorrow's the day November car sales numbers are out, and they're expected to contain more depressing news for the industry. Last year, 16 million cars were sold in the U.S., and tomorrow's numbers could show that this year it's closer to 11 million. So big drop there.
Ashley Milne-Tite joining us from New York. Thanks, Ashley.
You're welcome.
Let's turn our attention to Wall Street right now. It was a nice buying spree while it lasted, but markets are tanking this morning. The Dow Jones down more than 370 points, about 4.25%. NASDAQ down 74. That's about, well, nearly 5%. Same for the S&P 500, down about 44, nearly 5% so far this morning. The Japanese and Hong Kong markets closed up. European markets are sharply lower. Seems nowadays arbitration is more and more replacing judge and jury. Arbiters are looking at disputes between credit card companies and cardholders, car dealers and consumers, even labor disputes between employer and employee. There's one case before the U.S. Supreme Court today that looks at whether members of a union can go to court even if their union had signed off on arbitration. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer tries to make sense of it.
Non-union workers who agree to arbitration when they're hired have to take workplace disputes to an arbitrator. It's different if you're in a union that's agreed to mandatory arbitration. Since the union, not the individual worker, agreed to arbitration, workers can still go to court. Alan Hyde teaches law at Rutgers University.
If you ask the union to help out, the union might be able to resolve the situation, but you don't have to. It's your call. I think this case is a major threat to that.
The Supreme Court case involves three former night watchmen at 14 Penn Plaza in New York. They belong to the Service Employees International Union. In 2003, they were reassigned to less desirable positions as porters and cleaners. Younger workers were brought in as night watchmen. The older employees said they were victims of age discrimination. They tried arbitration through their union. When the union didn't deliver, they went to court. Their employer said they had to stick with arbitration. Jim Kappas is a lawyer with the AFL-CIO.
Generally, I think the employers don't like lawsuits, that they feel like, you know, it raises too many risks.
But employers say they like arbitration because it's a fair, efficient, and less costly alternative to court. State and federal judges have ruled differently on the union arbitration question. They'll be looking to the Supreme Court for guidance. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. and by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The economy's been sour. People haven't been doing a lot of buying, at least of high-end shoes and suits. But those who already have those items are getting them fixed up, and it's cheaper and lifting the economy in some stores. Here's Sally Herships.
Victoria Gonzalez is a Wall Streeter with a job. She's an entertainment lawyer. But like so many others in the financial district, she's cutting back.
I used to go and have my nails manicured each week. Now I just do everything myself. Nobody's noticed it. No one has commented.
Gonzalez is at Mina's Shoe Repair fixing up some old black pumps. Mina's Polikronaki says despite the dark clouds lurking above, his Wall Street shop is busy. Business is up 30% over last year.
Do customers tell you that they're getting their shoes fixed because they can't afford to buy new ones?
They don't have to tell me. They bring me Prada, Manolo, Jimmy Choo.
Those are some Jimmy Choos right there, right? And how much would this kind of shoe normally cost?
It's about $600.
Really? But that's just a plain beige pump.
Dressing like Mr. Big can cost big. So financial fat cats have begun bargain shopping in their own closets, and it's not just their shoe racks they reach for.
You're looking at about $1,200 a yard, and the average person would take about 3.5 yards to make a suit.
Harry Bambi is a tailor in Midtown Manhattan, and if you do the math, a suit, handmade from the cashmere wool mix he showed me, would cost over $4,000.
Yeah, it's a lot of cloth. It's a lot of money.
Now, with cutbacks and layoffs, his customers are brushing off their old pinstripes instead. Custom orders are down by 30%, but alterations are up by 20%, enough to keep the tailors working hard. Back on Wall Street, I ask Minas Polikronaki if the bad economy is good for him.
Really, it's not good for me. If Wall Street die, all the economy, all the world's going to die.
Polikronaki might be cashing in now, but he's hopeful the stock market will bounce back. If not, he says, there'll be a price to pay in the long run. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.